Adjectives on the typewriter. He moves his words like a prize fighter. The frenzied pace of the mind.
You're listening to The Deceptionist, Truth Through Fiction, a twice-monthly podcast all about the craft of storytelling brought to you by the fine folks at Fuzzy Typewriter. My name is Kelly Stevenson, and joining me today are the rest of the lovely people that make up our cast. Caroline Pruitt.
Hi.
Dave Acampo.
Hi.
Jim Mrachkowski.
Hello.
And Paul Montgomery.
Hey.
We might not all make it to every show, but we're all here today to kick it off because this is our preview trailer show. And since this is our first show, we'd like to take this time to introduce ourselves to you and let you know this, what this is all about. We're not really going to kick it off until 2011, but we thought we'd give you this lovely trailer before your holiday season ends.
It's so far away.
Can we get that guy that does all the trailers? You know, like, in a time where no one was writing.
Didn't he die?
Oh my God.
One of them did, yeah.
Oh no.
Wow, we are already off the rails.
Well, no,
that's amazing.
That was months ago. It was months ago, though. But
you know, I'm sure everybody's forgotten.
But the good thing about this wait is there's a Christmas in between, or a holiday season, I should say. A holiday season between now and then. So you got that to look forward to. But then, yeah, so we'll be doing shows where we talk about things like writing, which is, I assume that's what it's about. This is new, so I was just told to be here.
I think you spoiled it.
I did spoil it. I'm sorry.
We better talk about it now.
Okay.
It could organically evolve into a recipe podcast, but in the meantime, we're going to stick to fiction.
All right. So what's the meaning of all this? Who decided to do this? What how did this happen? How did this come to be?
I think I might have started it.
Okay.
Because. No. Oh, see, now Kelly's going to take credit. Go ahead, Kelly.
Oh, wait. No. Yes, you did start it. It is all your fault. My bad.
So callow.
Oh, well, I think I started it in the sense that I was working on writing for NaNoWriMo, which, if some of you are not familiar with that, that is the National Novel Writing Month project that happens in November. And I was working on it and not really accomplishing a whole lot at that point. And so I, you know, wasting time getting on Twitter and started asking people questions and people sort of throwing some conversation back at me. And I think that is at the point that Kelly got an idea. Kelly, do you want us to tell us about your idea now?
True. It's actually happened several times, even before NaNoWriMo. People have just basically been on Twitter and have started these conversations about writing and how to solve problems about character and plot. And they're always too short for me, or I get them 2 hours later and I don't have a chance to contribute or steer the conversation into a way that would be even more fruitful for things that I was working on. So I thought about it, and after I got done pouting, I realized that everybody else is doing podcasts these days. It seems like every person on my Twitter list is talking about a podcast or two or three they're in, and so I thought, hey, that should be a podcast. So I went back through my Twitter feed and found a few people who all had intelligent things to say or ask. And
they weren't
available. None of them said they wanted to talk to me, so then I went to my B list. And,
right.
I finally made the B-list.
I'm stunned that everybody said yes. I wanted everyone here to be a part of the conversation, but I expected at least two or three of you to be like, I'm busy, or I'm already doing five podcasts. and everyone said yes, and that's pretty spectacular.
Well, this is a topic near and dear to all of our hearts.
I think there's something intrinsic in writing. I think there, and that's one of the pratfalls too. I think more people want to be a writer than actually want to write.
I was just going to say, even if I'm not doing any writing, I like to think of myself as a writer, and I can do that if I talk on this show.
So, and I think a lot of people spend a lot of time getting their writing lives ready and preparing to write, and then they never do. Or getting a really nice pen and setting aside a writing room and setting up your desk a certain way, and you have all of these glorious plans to write one day, and then it never comes to be, and it keeps getting in the way. And one of the big distractions is talking about writing, but I think it's also, for me, when I read about writing or read about the successes of other people who have written, it fires me up and I want to write more. And absolutely, that's sort of my fuel. So I love reading like magazines about writing or listening to podcasts about writing. I love the creative writing, the creative screenwriting podcast, based on the magazine of the same name. I come from a screenwriting background, so that's something that gets me all fired up and everything. So I think, I mean, hopefully it can be of, you know, some use to some people, get them in the right frame of mind to write or offer some interesting suggestions or, you know, just get some ideas out there. So
I find that just hearing other people do it makes me want to get up and do it.
You get jealous of them. And
yeah, or you know, oh, if that idiot can do it. No, but usually it's much more positive than that. Like,
right.
I hear people talking like this and go, yeah, and I get up and take out my moleskin and
You want to be part of that.
It's true, yeah. Because writing is ultimately a solitary act. You have to sit down at your computer and do it. But I think there is something, there is a community aspect to it, and it's something that I've, you know, long been a part of with writing workshops and you know, projects where I'm writing with a partner in different media and whatnot. But you know, I think my experience with NaNoWriMo was that everyone else was doing it and everyone else was pushing me along, and that was very important. It really did keep me fired up. And so then when I saw other people asking questions, I realized I had something to say too about that, because I've been doing this for a while, and you know, I think about writing all the time, and I love stories, and I love, you know, what makes a story, and I spend a lot of time thinking about the craft. So you know, of course, when Kelly asks, I'm going to say, yeah, because those Twitter conversations, they're not long enough. I have more. I have more to tell you people.
I think what was valuable to me about, and I think it was originally Dave and I who were having the conversation, but other people got involved too, is that it really was not, like Paul was saying, this theoretical idea about, oh, well, what is the best kind of pen or whatever, but it was actually, I was at a point where I had been working on something and I was getting stuck. And so actually being able to sort of emerge from that and say, okay, here's the thing that I'm running into. What do other people do when you run into it? And I think I told you guys the first time we talked, between that conversation and us talking about the podcast, I didn't actually write anything. But
so
then
we really
once,
did the purpose, didn't we?
But then I turned around and I pushed through, and I did not. I got like 30,000 words. I didn't get 50,000. But I think my previous practice would have just been to be like, well, that was fun, but it was too hard. So let me do something else. So sort of stopping there to assess what I was doing and talk about it ended up being something that sent me forward.
And that's still a lot of words for a single month. So you're to be congratulated on that.
Absolutely,
that's a big, big accomplishment. So.
Thank you.
Was it a full story, start to finish?
Not at all. It was hardly even a full chapter, start to finish, because this is maybe getting a little bit too much into nitty gritty. But I would just like start and write till I got bored with what I was doing, and then start another window on Scrivener, which is great because you can write these little different sections. So a few of them got finished, a lot of them really didn't. But I do have something that I can come back to. So yay.
I always called it Schrodinger's novel. Like, I have all these great ideas, but as long as I don't ever sit down and actually start typing them, they're potentially great.
Right.
Actually writing them will ruin everything, because then we'll find out if they're actually any good or not. But as long as they're all hypothetical, oh, I'm a genius.
There's a lot of fear and anxiety that goes into writing, and especially into not writing. There's a lot of not writing involved in the practice of writing, I guess. But I think, and Dave touched on this, I think one of the big things is that it's easier in a group, and to have people that you can talk to about it. And hopefully this can be like a little bit of a workshop or a clubhouse kind of situation where we can, you know, encourage each other to, and you listeners as well, to do some stuff. And so you have stuff to bring to the table and talk about. I don't know exactly how this is going to work going forward in terms of, are we going to bring things that we've written to the show? Or I guess if we didn't, it would be kind of theoretical, but
I think we certainly could. I think it'll be a brave person who does that first. Paul, I like your clubhouse idea a lot. I hadn't really thought of it that way. I thought we might go from that to talk about how we got to the name.
Sure.
Because I think that was your idea.
Sure. Yeah, well, somebody was talking about lies and how, and we should mention that although we're going to be talking about a lot of different topics in writing, the focus is fiction as opposed to nonfiction. So we're going to be talking about made up things. But I think a lot of writers have written essays and things and talked for many, many years about how when you write fiction, it's sort of going around a long way to telling the truth. So that was sort of the kernel of the idea, I think, for what this whole thing was about, was that you're saying something true through fiction. And I've had that word deceptionist kicking around in the back of my head for a while. It sounds better than liar. It sounds more professional, I guess. And
professional liars.
We do, yeah. We don't want to be disingenuous or anything, but I think this, so there is an artfulness to telling a good lie, but getting some truth out there.
I find a good portion, probably if not a majority of the fiction that I write is actually some form of Romana Clef, you know, kind of. Not necessarily writing about some guy named Tim Shroshkowski or anything like that, but like, you know, taking real, grabbing things from the real world or my real life experience and molding them into the way I wanted them to be all along, or what would it have been like if this person had been there and this had happened, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, I think the combination of truth and lie is a potent one.
So I think for me, actually, I have the opposite of what Jim does. I start in a setting that's completely fundamentally different than the real world. It's got vampires in it, or elves, or mystical people, or crazy knights and maidens in distress and corsets and things. But what I find interesting in those worlds that I create are the interpersonal relationships that might not necessarily be ones that I've experienced, but ones that might be nice to experience or back and forth. So like what Paul was saying, it's going the long way around to get to the truth. So I start far, far away and then eventually go back to the truth.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of both of that. And I think, in fact, one practice I'll do is if I'm writing something that's very close to me, I will make it a third person, maybe even change the gender or something, do something to kind of shift it away so I can kind of explore new territories. Or if it's something that's kind of far away from me, I'll try making it first person to really bring me closer into it and think, okay, you know, kind of more to what Jim was talking about. But, you know, I think the bottom line is that you write – and your goal is to resonate with somebody, and you resonate with somebody by exploring some facet of the human condition and getting at some truth about life. And it doesn't matter if it's vampires or if it's a strung out drug addict. It doesn't matter if it's a, you know, stay at home mom or an elf, you know, on a higher plane of existence. It's all about finding that, whether it's interpersonal relationships, you know, some kind of personal philosophy about life. That's what we do, is we get at the truth. And when we're successful, we do it well, and we make it very pretty with our lies. So the deceptionists are, which I really, until this point, I thought it was because we're trying to fool you all into thinking we know what we're talking about. So, you know, that might be it. I do want to say that we're not here to tell you how to do it, because we all probably have very different perspectives. We'll probably have some common grounds, but I think also, you know, we're going to come at it from different angles. But that's the beauty of it, is that there's no one way to do any of this stuff. But there are some common areas where we've struggled or where we've had successes, and we're going to talk about those.
Not at the moment.
You know, yeah, maybe in another episode.
One of the things that I suggested when we started talking about this, kind of coming off of what we've just been saying, is that I feel like there's a lot of writing conversation that's about how to overcome writer's block or how to get published, what to do with your script once you've got it done. And that, I think, sort of plays into this idea that someone mentioned earlier, that we're sometimes more interested in being writers and in doing the writing. And one of the things I thought would be interesting to talk about is, certainly, I think if it comes up, how to get the work out there is interesting and how to get published is interesting, but also just this idea of writing because it's something that we do. The same way you might play music, the same way you might be involved in a sport or something like that, just because you enjoy it. And this is a conversation that I've been seeing in the media more lately, is this question of if there's value in having a class of amateur writers in society, sort of the way, you know, you get a music scene rises up somewhere where there's a bunch of garage bands, where there's a bunch of people learning to play their instruments.
Sure.
And so some writing kind of comes out of people writing because they like to do it, and not every single person who picks up a guitar thinks they're going to get a recording contract. So why does every single person who picks up a pen start immediately thinking about getting published?
Because first, they can't. You can't have... How do you decide if you're going to be a serious writer and you're going to be the published writer and you're not one of the people who's going to need some time to have fun with it? You don't go out of college immediately and set up, you know, an office where you're a writer. It takes some time and some playing around and some practice and stuff like that. And but I think so I don't, these articles, when I look at them, it's just like, people shouldn't be allowed to have fun. It's just, that's what it sounds like. And it's, people shouldn't be allowed to experiment. There shouldn't be any kind of, I mean, you look at what, okay, talking about the screenwriting thing, some of my role models are the people who work at Pixar. I think that would be one of the coolest places to work and to be a writer or creator of any kind, because it's all about people playing with each other and having fun and coming up with things organically instead of saying we have a tight deadline and you need this to come out a certain, you know what I mean? So I think it's more harmful than anything to say like you can only write if you're a paid writer, because how do you get to that point?
There's a certain pragmatic sort of cold-blooded shark-like movement in this whole thing that which appeals to the most base part of me, because when we talk about why we write, I thought about that question a lot, and the answer that I always come back to is I write to be read. If the hardest part about something like a National Novel Writing Month is writing something knowing that people aren't going to see it, I'm not motivated to complete it. You know what I mean? So at the very least, I think that there's a sort of there are some people who are public who are trying to get published because they want to be heard, and then there are people who are trying to get published because they want to be paid.
That's an excellent distinction.
Yeah. And you know that, and I don't know if you followed this recent news about James Fry.
Oh, my
hero.
His
writing sweatshop, but
basically,
yeah, he's going around to universities and corralling these talented young writers and telling them, I'm looking for marketable ideas that we can turn into movies, and he's giving them these contracts that basically give them $250 for coming up with you know, the next Avatar or whatever, and it's just fascinating to me how many people kind of have fallen for it and what's come of it, but there's a certain number of people who kind of look at this as some kind of get rich quick scheme. They kind of go, well, I have no other marketable talents, but I can make up stories okay, and maybe that's my ticket out of the poorhouse or whatever. So you know, and I'm rambling, but I think that there's something to be said for this idea of just writing for its own sake, because when each of us sat down for the very first time and wrote something that wasn't an assignment, we didn't do it thinking that it would make us $1 million. Most of us were probably in seventh grade.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, and it's funny, I'm in Los Angeles and I see a lot of that in terms of, you know, you talked about people coming up with the idea and a lot of people have put a lot of stake in this copyrightable idea that they have that's going to be the next big thing. But, you know, I think what our podcast is really more for the writers, right? I mean, this is about process. This is about, you know, digging the ditches. You know, this is, you have to get in there and you have to do it, because ideas are easy. Ideas are a dime a dozen. But, you know, the actual craft of writing is a serious thing, even though a lot of people will tell you otherwise. And for me, If we're talking about the why we sit down and do it, I mean, I've known writers and poets who write because they just have this, you know, they're trying to understand their own lives and they're in a lot of pain and they're trying to get that out somehow, and the written word is the way that they do it. You know, I think I'm kind of a little cross between, I think I do want to entertain in some way. I do like to be read, but I think I'm also trying to understand things by writing, even writing a completely fictional story set in another universe. I'm still trying to figure out something about life, and it's amazing when that comes out on the page. And, you know, so I would never place any kind of restrictions on anybody sitting down to write. I think you need a little bit of, you know, a lot of these come from people who they're writing an article saying, trying to say, oh, we all have these, you have these delusions of grandeur. You think it's going to go this way, but you're just wasting your time because there's a lot of work that has to be put into it and blah, blah, blah. And I don't understand why that voice has to go out there. I mean, there's plenty of people that are going to be rejected by editors because they didn't take the time to do revision and they didn't do this and that. You don't need another voice saying, aha, you shouldn't even bother. You know?
Caroline, what's the whole thesis of this? Like, what? Who are they saying, like, that this is harming writing in some way?
One of the notions, I guess, is that there aren't enough serious readers out there, and there's this sort of straw man, and I will say it's not completely a straw man because I have been in and I have taught writing classes and have met a handful of these people. But the straw man is the person who has never read a book in their life. And they're actually, Dave, I think he linked around that one of those little videos that was the yeah. So You Want to Write sure. a Novel. Those, and it, that person who's kind of in the video, it's one of these little animations that you see on the web, is basically this guy saying, I've never read a book. I don't know anything about writing books, but I know my book is going to be better than anybody else's. And I think this is kind of the idea that there are all of these amateur writers out there who don't love books, who don't love reading, who just think they're going to get rich, and that somehow they're making the lives of the publishing industry terrible because they have so many bad things they want to read.
Yeah. This is sort of the snobby turtleneck wearing equivalent of everyone's a comedian.
Exactly.
More or less.
Yeah, but it's the thing with it, like, you can't grant the premise, though, because, I mean, it's not like writing is the easiest way to make a lot of money. Like, people work really hard and, you know, can barely make a living being novelists these days. So if you want to be in it for making a whole lot of money, pick a different medium, pick a different craft to go into, because it's very much an enthusiast's kind of thing.
Use your way with words and your gift of gab to market Coca-Cola.
Yeah, go into, you know, marketing or something.
I think some people, yeah, because marketing's easy. It's not. I think some people are so taken with the success of, you know, Dan Brown and Stephanie Meyer, and even to some extent, J.K. Rowling, and it's just like, how hard could it really be? Like, this book seems simple, not Harry
Boy,
Potter necessarily, but the other two.
You want to talk about if that idiot can do it, I can do it. Exhibit A, Dan Brown. God almighty.
I mean, seriously, and if that's all it takes and it looks that simple, you would think that, you know, everyone would be picking up a pen and trying to figure out how they could literally be the next Dan Brown or Stephanie Meyer.
Oh my God.
So it's an annoyance. It's somebody that you don't want to bump into at a party or whatever, but it's not really hurting anyone. If someone untalented is trying to write or do anything.
Right, and I think the myth that goes with that is that that's what every amateur writer is. And that's not really my experience.
Right.
My experience is that there are a lot of, and I think, you know, with publishing, sort of with self-publishing becoming something a lot easier to do on the internet and via ebooks and stuff, you're going to have more people putting books out that maybe there is no gatekeeper for, that maybe aren't as high quality. But I don't, you know, if there's people who want to read it, I don't think that's hurting anything. And I think a lot of the people sort of in the middle who are writing novels in November or whatever, or, you know, posting things or whatever, are doing it because they enjoy it. And sort of listening to those of you who are saying you write because you want to be read, I definitely – I have a lot of that myself. Like, I feel like if I'm telling myself a story in my head, it can entertain me, but why am I going to the trouble of putting it down on paper if I'm not going to share it with anybody? But I'm not necessarily trying to share it with, you know, what's a famous publisher? Random House, you know?
Right.
I may be writing something for my friend for her birthday, you know, something like that. That's still...
You don't want to necessarily sit on Oprah's couch talking about subtext.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, sorry, I watched the Oprah Jonathan Franzen thing today, and I that could be a whole show. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I think all of our culture is on the cusp of something, and it's been on this cusp for a couple of years now. The exact sort of thing that we're talking about with people who are writing their novels, these people in their homes that are not going through the proper channels and not getting published through the gatekeepers, is the exact same thing that you hear about when people are talking about why would anyone watch late night talk shows when there's YouTube, and you know, and like there are no longer three channels through which we get all of our entertainment, information, whatever it is. There are a million different things coming at us from all directions, and the people who still hold the keys to those three networks or those five publishers or whatever it is don't know how to react to this new paradigm, nor do the people who are in it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of flailing around, and you know, when people get scared, they start to belittle the new, and it's sort of to be expected. I wouldn't be, you know, we're sitting here doing a podcast. How much would they have to pay you to be a radio DJ in 2011? that you know you're getting on board the dinosaur train with
half
computers.
Of these
industries. Yeah, and you know, it's just that nobody knows what's going to happen next, and there's instead of getting 20 decent sources of information or entertainment or important works, you're getting it from every direction. I could publish the Great American Novel on WordPress tomorrow afternoon, and 11 people will see it and call it a day. And so, I mean,
yeah,
we're all just trying to figure it out.
The internet changed everything. I mean, you know, we now have this sea of information, and anyone can do anything. You're absolutely right. You could publish the Great American Novel, as you said, on WordPress tomorrow. So there's nothing stopping anyone. But what happens is, yeah, the signal to noise ratio has just shifted drastically. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out, I think what the publishing industry, what people are doing is, it's just, you have so many more options to go to for entertainment, but I have to believe that the cream will still rise, that we're going to figure out a way, and maybe it is that, you know, the best ones are going to get published. Not everybody who does NaNoWriMo is going to get published, and if they think that, then they're deluding themselves. But I think for me, and to kind of bring it back to the deceptionists and what we're about and what this podcast is about, is never take a tool out of the toolbox. NaNoWriMo is a tool, you know, and I keep referring to this because one of the articles I read was one of these things saying, don't bother with NaNoWriMo. And this may be a whole show unto itself, but, you know, that's what I keep coming back to when we're talking about this. Is it makes
Listen, when I wrote that article, what I was trying to say was... No, go ahead.
But yeah, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I think we're all people who are writing, and it doesn't matter whether we make our living or part of our living doing it, but we're writing and we're serious about it, and we do it because we like to do it and we're trying to get better at it. And this podcast is for people like that.
Can I ask a difficult question to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So if we go around the room, if you found out that you're never going to be a huge successful novelist, if you had some kind of genie come to you and tell you this, some kind of archangel come and tell you this, would you keep writing? If you knew that you were never going to be a success, and I know that that's sort of like a broad question, because what does it mean to be successful? But like, it's, you know, what if you never got a book published or something like that? Let's say that.
Well, the thing is, I'm operating under that assumption right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not.
There's no hope whatsoever.
I'm not. Well, look who you're talking to. But I'm not one of these people who thinks along the lines of, well, I'm going to beat the odds, and one day Oprah will lick my boots. You know, so I, you know, although that it would be great, but
you've apparently had this thought though.
What every afternoon at 3 o'clock, I meditate on Oprah licking my boots. But no, I'm not made up in such a way that I can go through life thinking I'm going to be the next American Idol. You know what I mean? Mm. I didn't have the proper support structure at home or something when I was a kid.
But there's a difference in not knowing than being certain that you won't.
You know, Paul?
Yeah.
I actually, it's interesting when you put it that way, I would almost find that liberating.
Okay.
Because I kind of would feel like, okay, well, I know now that nobody's going to, you know, or the world is not going to want to read this. So I can sit down and write something that I know my best friend will like.
Well,
and
here's the thing.
It will entertain the two of us.
The world is never going to read this ever again. Whatever it is. There is no the world is going to.
True.
Anymore. It's all niches, like we were just talking about. Like, if somebody told me tomorrow there is an absolute certainty that you will never be a published novelist, then I would do what I've always called expectation management and immediately start going, well, how many hits did I get on Typepad today? Like, I would just find the goalpost, lift it, carry it over there, and start on the next thing.
I think for me, there's a question of why not. Like, if it's not a question of quality of my writing, if it's just nobody will ever read your writing ever, I would find that incredibly liberating. I'm the opposite of many of you. I do not write so that I can be read. I write because I want to tell myself a story, and I get paralyzed with fear that someone else is going to read it and tell me that it sucks. So,
in fact, some people have been trying for many years to drag your stories out of you to no avail.
Indeed. So I think if it was like, you don't have to worry about anyone ever reading anything you say, just go ahead and write, I think that just sounds liberating just to say it out loud. If it was, it turns out that it's true, you do suck, no one will ever read or like anything you ever write, then I would
never write. There's a difference between no one will read it and you suck.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. If it was, yes, no one's going to read it because it's terrible and no one will, you know, want to publish it, then I would be paralyzed with depression. But if it was just, it's fine, but nobody's ever going to read it, yeah, I would write all the
time.
So what's, I'd hang up right now and start writing.
So what's the ultimate goal for you then?
I don't have a goal.
Okay.
It's
the day-by-day thing.
This is kind of getting into what we wanted to talk about. I think we've pretty much identified why we're doing this and what we want to talk about. But for me, to identify myself as a writer, I'm one of the ones where I have stories and they get inside my head and sometimes they don't let me go until I write them down. And so I write them down and I've got a file full of half-written stories and scenes that sort of fade in and fade out awkwardly. And that's what I do. I just like to write stories. Shrug.
Yeah, I think, what was the original question again, Paul?
if the Archangel Raphael came to you and said,
the turtle?
Not the turtle. This is the patron
Pegatron?
Saint
so,
of travelers for my Roman Catholic readers. If he told you that you will never be a published novelist, or in your case, that you will never get a screenplay, sold, right, or whatever.
Well, it's a weird question for me because I've kind of been. It's weird. I'm not going to answer it directly because I kind of did accept that a while back. Now, and when I say accept that, maybe I will not. Have a career as a novelist or a comic book writer or whatever. But around that same time, I started just doing things myself. I mean, you say, like, you'll never have a screenplay published or produced, but I made movies because
this is true.
Because I just did it. And I said, well, let's just make a movie, and we did. So, Wormwood is my audio show, and that was a testament to me just saying, hey, you know what, let's just do it. So, in a way, I don't accept the premise, but let's say it's angelic intervention, and I have to. Well, I think I accepted that a while ago that I don't rely on that, and that was a tough thing to sort of accept. But at the same time, something else happened that made it something that I could really live with, and that's that just by simply pursuing writing, by calling myself a writer, I have ended up in positions where writing is a part of my job and creativity is a part of my job. So I get fulfillment from that, and it is part of my paying job, and then I also have other writing that I do that is for myself, for my friends, for others, that I would like to get published and share with a larger audience. But if it doesn't happen that way, I will make it happen that way, and if an angel thrusts his fiery sword at me and says no, 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 then I will just hand it around on Xerox copies to my friends. And, you know, I mean, my favorite part is when you or, you know, Paul or any of you guys or friends of mine read my script, read my story, and say, hey, that was really good. And that to me is mission accomplished.
Well, no, it's me. That's terrifying.
Well, see, we've got to work on you.
The real
podcast. For your friends to read something of yours and like it, that terrifies you?
Handing it out to a bunch of people and say, please hug me when you're done with this, is terrifying.
That's how I got through the days in high school. Like, early in high school, that was my thing. I'd stay up late working on a short story, and then I couldn't wait until, you know, coming in before homeroom even started or at lunchtime and hand it over to my friends and have them read it and say that I was a genius. That's all that I wanted. Jim, you were talking about like instant gratification with this stuff and mm-hmm. wanting people to see it as quickly as possible and to know that people are reading your stuff and liking it. And it's not like my parents were mean to me or dismissed me or anything like that.
Right.
Perfectly, you know, healthy childhood and everything. It's just
nobody ever forgot your birthday.
It's
sleep under the stairs. Yeah.
It's yeah. I know. I'm not an orphan who slept under the staircase or anything like that. It's just, and I'm not waiting for a wizard to come and rescue me. It's just. I like to watch people's faces as they read something. I like to know where they are in a story as they're reading it. I'm the most obnoxious person to have around when you're reading their stuff. I will not leave you alone. I'll just like be watching you the whole time. So for Kelly to explain, like for you to explain your apprehension about it, it's just something completely disparate from my experience, and just, so it's very interesting to me.
That is why we will have good conversations on this podcast.
Paul, that's
so I will be in a corner doing two or three shots while you're reading something that I've written.
Might as well type the last sentence, print it out, set it on fire, and throw it out the window.
And it's not that we want to change you at all. I don't want you to be anxious about your writing and what people might think of it, but there's something really pure about writing for yourself and just wanting to write for yourself. And that's something that you don't want taken away from you. That's really cool. So I wish sometimes that I had the confidence to have written something and then put it away in a drawer and feel accomplished just having written it, not to get accomplishment from having to give it to someone and then to tell me that it's good.
So Paul,
but if they tell you that it's bad, then you haven't accomplished anything.
You've identified who the people are in your life who are assholes. You shouldn't talk to anymore.
Same. True story. I did actually with my first nano novel. I finished it, and it was weird how it ended up working out. The first chapter and the last chapter, sort of like the prologue and the epilogue, were in a completely different voice than the rest of the novel. And I really liked the last chapter. It was one of those things where, you know, you write at this point literally like 50,000 words only to get like 2,500 really good ones. And they were 2,500 words that I was really proud of, to the point where I actually like brought it to Christmas to my family, who had sit there and been like, you're doing what? You're writing a novel all throughout November, and said, here is a thing that I am allowing you to read. Please treat it as gently as possible. And I had one family member, and I even said, I don't want to hear about any typos. I don't want to hear anything negative. I'm just putting this out here so that you can read it if you want to know what I do. And I had one family member immediately launch into, well, I know you said you didn't want this, but here, I'm going to tell you what you did wrong.
Oh, no.
And, yeah.
Everybody likes to volunteer their knowledge.
God forbid you get the one, like Nana goes, I thought it was delightful.
Seriously, I did that.
You
but
know
no,
what?
In fact, my Nana was the one that was like, well, I know you said, but you typed a word wrong here.
Oh, geez.
You've just made me decide that next year I'm going to participate in National Novel Writing Month, and then for Christmas I'm giving everybody the book.
Nice. You're a hero.
That's my goal. That's my goal for 2011. It's going to be a scathing indictment of my family and everyone I've ever met.
But Kelly, that does raise the issue that some people are better readers than others, or better readers for you. And again, this is a more general statement, not just talking to you. But I think one of the things that has made a difference, it sounds like Paul found the good readers for him very early in his life, which is good. I think it took me a while, being in workshops and finding sort of the right people that I was comfortable talking to about it. And I think that that's definitely, some people are just good at this stuff and some people aren't going to be very diplomatic even if they like what they're reading, you know?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not a case that they're the best readers. It's just I happen to have the friends who didn't want to say anything bad about it, I guess.
Sometimes those are the best.
Well, yeah, it depends
or
on what you want,
you're just
I guess.
Awesome and I suck.
No, it's totally not
you,
that.
I don't think for a minute, though, that you had the kind of friends who were the literary equivalent of the people who come to your play and go, the way you stood there was so great. The ushers were amazing. Try to come up with anything they can say to not say you were terrible. I think there are people who we see this in our other lives all the time. There are people who come to a work of fiction or a creative endeavor with a open mind, and there are people who come in with their arms crossed and a red pencil and begin to immediately seek out everything they can nitpick about. And you lived a charmed life with a healthy support structure that makes me want to move to your hometown and raise my kids there.
You, Paul, not you, Kelly.
Right. I lived in your hometown, sister. I understand.
I know. I'm just clarifying for our audience.
I feel like that this could almost be an entire show. We could talk about this and talk about criticism and workshops and people who read your writing. But yeah, I mean, my experience with it has been anybody that does a workshop or a writing class like that where you share work, you find very quickly who works with you and who doesn't. And I think for me, I have to not be afraid of the criticism and I have to embrace it, but I also have to be wise enough to go, this is good criticism. This can make me better. I can ignore this person because they're just a jackass, you know, or they're not in the same space as I am. They're not going for the same thing. They just don't get it or whatever. Now that's dangerous because you know, you have to have enough sense to know, you know, if you're just telling everyone, well, you just don't get me, you know, then
you have to have a compass with high precision.
Exactly. And I don't know exactly how everyone gets that, because I think in every writing class, you always had that person that really was delusional and thought that they were writing the best shit out there. And are we going to swear on this podcast? I guess we are.
Now we are.
You have just determined that we are.
No. Explicit. Yeah.
We're taping after 9 p.m. I think it counts.
That's right.
But you guys know what I'm saying. I mean, we've all done writing classes or workshops or what have you. And there's always somebody out there who they just don't get the criticism at all. And I don't know what it is. There's some ingredient there. Maybe we can discuss that. I need more time to think about it. So maybe that can be another show where we talk about, you know, what kind of group of writers you have or readers you have around you. Because I definitely have had experiences on both sides of that. But done
there's
well,
one thing. You know. Yes, well, and we should all be so lucky. But there's one thing about the media coverage of all this that Caroline has talked about that gets in my craw, which is there are these people who have been lucky enough to be published reporters, I guess, or published bloggers or whatever they are, who have the gall to talk about unpublished fiction writers as if they are some sort of affront to the culture or something, as if there are these filthy mudbloods. Yeah, well, but the thing is, like, what is the alternative that you're proposing? You've got millions of people in this country in an information-based society. We don't produce anything anymore. We don't manufacture our own toys or cars or anything else. All we do is go into our little cubicles every day and fill out our TPS reports. And some people in this environment choose to go and for its own sake dare to attempt creativity, and you're going to put your boot on their throats? Go to hell.
And how do they separate what's like a serious writer from someone who's just fucking around, you know, like
Jonathan Franzen and everyone else.
There you go. So it's just like, you know who you are. You can identify yourself as a writer who's going to be accomplished and successful. You may continue, pass, go, collect, whatever. And
yeah, it's a serious writer who writes about family dysfunction, and the entire first page of your novel is a single sentence, and everyone who read it fell asleep.
So yeah, so collect your grants. But if you're someone who's just, if you're enjoying yourself in any way, you better stop and you better take up something else. Take up something that's not going to bother us in our elitist crowd or whatever. So, I think we should, set our foot forward that if you have any inkling that you would like to write, if you are doodling, and putting down words and chaining words together that you like, you should write. And it doesn't matter why you want to write. Just do it and have fun, because life's too short and too hard in other circumstances. This is a fun hobby to have, even if you don't want to make it into your career. You're not going to hurt anyone else. Never feel guilty for wanting to write or for writing. So just please write, and it might entertain us at some point. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't hurt us anyway.
And elves are just as welcome as dysfunctional families. Dysfunctional elves are actually really encouraged.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you spend 3 hours writing a short story or spend 3 hours applying paint to pewter figurines of Civil War soldiers, what the hell is the difference, really? You're just trying to express yourself creatively or make something beautiful, and who could possibly find fault with that?
Yeah.
Bravo.
Writing, like being able to call yourself a writer, all you have to do is just, you have to have written, and you have to be, writing at some kind of pace, whatever you set for yourself. However much time you might have with, your family or job responsibilities, being a writer doesn't have to do with what me or any of these people or any editor thinks of what you're writing. You're still a writer as long as you're writing. It's not about if you're, if you're winning awards or whatever it is, or getting the attention of agents and publishers. It's just about getting the words down, and that's an accomplishment in itself, because it can be hard sometimes and lonely and scary, as we've discussed.
Yes, indeed. I think this might be a good time to move into a little bit of the more specific questions that we have toward the end. And the first one we had talked about, and I'm curious where everybody else is coming from on this, because we're talking about fiction in the sense of telling stories. But then more specifically, I guess we're wondering if there's a particular form or genre that we're used to working in. And I personally have been a short story writer. I did a thesis long ago that was short stories. And I'm kind of on the cusp of between doing that and thinking about either getting back to writing short stories more regularly or putting that together into something long. And I think just the process of sitting down every day is helping me figure out what I want to do with that. And so I'm curious where the rest of you are with that sort of thing.
I've gotten much better about short stories in the last couple of years. There was a time when I didn't write them because nobody buys short story collections. I used to think like that. Because, there was a time when the only way you were getting read is if you were getting bought,
mm-hmm.
and, so on and so forth. But over the years, and especially as my own attention span has become a little bit shorter, and as I've looked around the web and seen what can be done with it, I've moved much more towards writing short stories. I'm not really – I need to start writing about, spacemen and people who shoot laser beams from their eyes, as opposed to, 30-something white men in contemporary America.
Well, why do you think that?
Cratch. What do you mean, why do I think that?
Why
do you mean, what do I think? What do I mean?
Why would you prefer the spaceman over...
I'm not stretching myself, Carolyn.
Okay.
It's far too easy to write what I know. Take that, cliche.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that is a future show, but cool.
Yeah, right.
What about the rest of you? David.
Well, you know, it's funny. So is the question, what's my favorite media to write in? I don't know if I could answer that. I mean, like I said in this,
Dave's schizophrenic, basically.
Yeah, I'm very schizophrenic. And my background is short stories. I mean, when I really fell in love with writing, it was short stories. Some bad poetry, mostly short stories. Then I got into film scripting after I moved to L.A. and said that I was going to move to L.A. and not be in the film industry, but be that guy that writes the novel about Hollywood, you know, while working, you know, outside of it, the Nathaniel West, Day of the Locust guy. But then eventually I met my friend Jeremy Rogers, and we started talking about, you know, stories, and he just had a similar viewpoint, and we ended up collaborating on a script, and I just fell in love with that idea of writing scripts, and it actually informed my prose writing in ways that I'm still figuring out. You know, it brought me to a different level of writing and thinking about stories. And then last year I wrote a novel for the first time. I had mostly written short stories and thought about novels and written bits and pieces of novels, but this was a successful thing. And I really like all of them. Then there's my audio drama, Wormwood. So that's like a radio play, an audio script. And they're all just different ways to tell stories, and I love them all. I'm kind of falling back in love with short stories again a little bit. So, I don't know. I just can't pick one.
I'll back you up, Dave, because I can't pick one either. I'd love all these different things, and I wrote for Wormwood as well. So I've written, you know, the radio script style. I went to school for screenwriting and playwriting. I originally was very interested in plays, and then it became apparent that if I did a really good screenplay, I could, you know, go through my professors and get it in the hands of an agent and get it to Hollywood somewhere, and they might be interested. But I don't know that I ever want to move to Hollywood because Dave's there, and God, just all the heat. All right. So just lots going on. But I like short stories a lot. I love the idea. I have no interest in writing the great American novel. I'm not really a long form literary fiction kind of guy. I like genre stuff. I like horror and fantasy and mystery and crime and stuff like that. And I think I'd get bored writing a novel. So I think, you know, short stories and novellas might be for me. I still have, you know, some interest in scripting, but I don't know where that's going to go. But then again, we also don't know where all these, you know, mediums are going to be going. So we'll, you know, just have to see what happens. But I guess I should kind of pick some things quick so I can start working and get some stuff out there. I'd like to try comics. I don't know. I write for a comic site, and I do a lot of commentary and stuff, and I know a lot of people in that industry, so I feel like it would kind of be very stupid if I didn't, you know, try that out. And also, I'm like Dave said, there's something I like about each different form, and it's sort of like I'm more interested in experimenting with all the different forms than I am interested in one single form. Like, I like that idea of being able to move between different styles and genres and things. And I don't want to pigeonhole myself into any one thing, because I haven't fallen totally in love with any one thing, or maybe I've fallen in love with all of these things, and I just want to try them all.
Right.
So that's me.
I will say, where comics and other things are concerned, comics in particular, it just seems so much like a Sisyphean task, because it relies so heavily on the ability to find a good collaborator.
Right.
So many people are trying to find such a limited audience. It seems like a really potentially frustrating. Of course, I'm weak-willed, so I just run from that sort of thing anyway. But
for me, I think of it as more of a project. I don't know that I'd want to be doing an ongoing comic. I'd love to be able to do, like, you know, just an original graphic novel with somebody, or do a web comic for a while, or, you know, do a short comic for an anthology or something, and it'd be a project. And I guess I'm looking at all these different things. Like I just want to freelance and try different things. I can't see myself doing any one thing over and over again, you know, Monday through Friday. I just want to try different things. I'm indecisive, I guess, is a better explanation.
Like you said, they all have different strengths and weaknesses, and it's very interesting. I mean, Jim, you mentioned it being hard to find a collaborator and everything. Well, I mean, here's an anecdote out of my life is that I had this audio drama, which, you know, I had to cast and get actors, and so that was a collaborative process. But as that wrapped up, I was writing a novel from that same world, and then that was just me alone trying to figure it all out. But then an artist who listened to the show came to us and said, hey, I think it'd be really cool to adapt your show to a comic book. And then that led to a discussion Jeremy and I came up with a different story that would be a predecessor to that, to the audio show, and same world again, but a small story, a five-part story, and we ended up scripting a comic book for that, you know? And it was weird because now I've done the same world in three different media, and it's going from an audio where it's all voice and we could really get into the actors doing all this sort of, you know, long twisty dialogue, which was fun, to going to the economy of word balloons on a comic book page. Very different, but it was fun. It was fun to kind of stretch different muscles. And so that's an exact example of why I could never just choose one, because I'm really having fun playing with each different medium. And I think they all kind of teach me a little something about storytelling too. They kind of, you know, okay, stop thinking about that. You've been going down that path for a while. Stop and look at this. And so, you know, I like that.
Kelly?
See, and I think, again, I am different than everyone else. Everything is a novel. I don't know how to write a short story. I keep trying, and I don't know how to start one. I don't know how to end one, because what I come up with inside my head is too big to feel like I can properly capture it and tell whatever it is I want to tell shortly enough. I think if I was going to try to write a script, which I've done, it would be, you know, a movie, or it would be a trilogy before I'd get, you know, one page of dialogue out.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do
awesome.
It shortly.
That's awesome that you can think that
really
big. See, because that was always my fear, is like, I can't write a novel because I can't figure out how to sustain that. You know, and I'll end up thinking about plot, and then I'll get so focused on plot, I'll forget about my characters and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's and so the fact that it just springs forth from the fact that it springs forth from you like that without meaning to is awesome. I think that's fantastic.
Well, like Jim said earlier, I have a lot of Schrodinger's novels. Like, I have, a drive full of ideas that are three-fourths of a novel, and then it's like, and then something else happens. But I know that they're just too big. It's not that they're too big. It's that I can't tell it succinctly. I can't start you off and drop you in a world.
You can't know, though, because that's the whole thing with the Schrodinger's cat, is you don't know. That's the whole – so you have a book in mind, and it sounds really scary, and you think it doesn't work, but you don't know until you actually try to do it. So that's – I don't know. That's.
But I know it's not a short story.
Okay.
But we're all talking at once. Kelly, is that something you're saying that you'd like to try? Like, you'd like to learn to do it more, or just that you're...
Because you don't have to.
Right, exactly.
Well, I'd like to... Yeah, I feel like if I'm ever going to publish anything, and I would like to, I mean, sort of, kind of...
You just
of.
Don't want anybody to read it. You just want to publish it.
Right.
Just going to find the right journal for you. That
yeah, yeah. There's probably a lot of journals like
strangers.
I know some blind bookbinders.
Reading it. I'm okay with strangers reading it. I just don't want people I know to read it.
That's interesting.
But those things are short stories. They're short story contests, and they're, you know, journals and things that, you know, nobody's going to just walk up and say, here's a half-finished novel. Please finish it, and we'll give you a lot of money for it.
Right.
I mean, maybe they do, but I'm not Stephanie Meyer. Or that kid who wrote those Dragon books.
So I think the point here is that we're all different kinds of writers. We all have different experiences and a lot of common areas of frustration and maybe a few victories. But I think the point is we all feel like we have something to say, and we have something to say together, and we can discuss these things. And I think hopefully by listening to us, if you're anything like us, and I suspect you must be like one of us, whether you like to write about elves or dysfunctional families or dysfunctional elves, you know, this is a place where hopefully we'll talk about writing just out of the sheer love of writing. You know, as we said earlier, it's not so much about getting published or even how to start, but it's just that process. And
it's just shop talk.
It's shop talk. That's a great. Why didn't we call it that?
It's taken.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
I'm sure.
No, I'm kidding. But seriously, you know, this is shop talk, and it's people who love writing and who, if you ever felt alone, like, wow, you know, this is a struggle that I'm going through, and I need somebody to talk to about it. You know, we're going to talk about all those things coming up. We're going to talk about cliches and how to overcome writer's block and write what you know and all these things. And what are some other topics we're going to do, guys?
Caroline,
show don't tell.
Show don't tell. There you go. So, you know, come back, stick around. 2011, we're gonna kick this off and really talk about all the little things that it comes down to when you sit down in front of that word processor or typewriter or Moleskine notebook or
adverbs, you know, yeah,
instruction paper and crayons. And, you know, we're going to talk about storytelling and the process and craft of writing.
So if you have any questions or comments or things that we should discuss on the show, you can send those along to contact@thedeceptionists.org, or you can go to our website, which is thedeceptionist.org. And you can follow us on Twitter, and that is twitter.com/deceptionists. So that's it for us here on our inaugural episode of The Deceptionists, as brought to you by Fuzzy Typewriter. And also check out Fuzzy Typewriter, another fine podcast, over on iTunes, or you can go to fuzzytypewriter.com. So that's it for us. I am Paul.
I'm Kelly.
Caroline.
And I'm Dave.
And I'm Jim.
Yay!
And we'll get that right one of these days.
No.
Takes all the fun out of it.
Adjectives on the typewriter. He moves his words like a prize fighter. The frenzied pace of the mind inside the cell.
Crowd, like, sort of, hi, I'm Paul and I write blah blah.
I wouldn't classify it.
He writes a lot of blah blah. Let me tell you.
Just, you know.
Well, I was gonna let you pick.
I had to edit some of that blah blah, Paul.
I don't know if. I don't know if what I do is classified as that.
I'm sorry.
As writing or as blah blah?
As blah blah. I don't like labels.
Don't put me in a box.
It could be blah blah, it could be yada yada yada. You know, it's he's gotta think about that.